introduction and I get to wrap things up and put them together. Grace. You saw that first passage. You see who we are by nature. And it's not pretty. We've received original sin. We're called sons of disobedience, children of the devil. That's who we are by nature. And who are we by nurture? It only gets worse. We're groomed to be devilish by the world, by Satan, and by our flesh. We're called dead in our trespasses of sins. We're addicts to sin. We are separated from God. We're alienated from His family. And we're without hope. That's who we are by nature and nurture. But did you see who we are in Christ? That instead of giving us that earthly execution and that eternal damnation that we've deserved, God gave us His Son. And God gave us His righteousness. And God gave us Christ's inheritance. And God gave us Christ's record. And God gave us Christ's inheritance. And God gave us Christ's Spirit dwelling within. And Christ gives us fruits of the Spirit. And Christ gives us then works to do. And this is all of grace, not of works, so that no one can boast. And that's what you see in that Ephesians 1 passage, that we are hopeless without Christ. We have nothing but faith, hope, and love in Christ. And therefore, we are so rich in grace and mercy and kindness. And because we have received grace, we are going to be gracious. We're going to be gracious to ourselves first. That's right. As we hear the accuser tell us, you're no good. You've got to earn God's favor. You've got to add to what Jesus Christ has already done. You've got to pay for some of your own sins. We're going to say, forget you. We're going to preach the gospel to ourselves, and we're going to call Satan and all his legalistic friends liars. For Jesus Christ paid it all. We're going to preach the gospel of grace to ourselves. When we sing, we're going to gather together on Sunday mornings and sing like we really believe it. Like we're people intoxicated with what Jesus Christ has done for us. Yes, there will be some times of reverence. There will be some times of mourning and lamentation. But for the most part, we're pretty happy people who have received grace from Jesus. And we're going to sing that way. When we pray, we're not going to kind of sneak up to the throne of grace, but boldly. We're going to walk up there and sit on our Father's lap like we belong there. You know why? Because we do belong there. I don't know how you have seen the Lord's Supper celebrated, but I love how it's celebrated here. The table is only for sinners, not for the righteous. It's for sinners who are running to Jesus Christ. And if that's you, we come to the table not thinking that we worked ourselves up into a frenzy of repentance before we got here to make ourselves worthy. We've never confessed enough to make ourselves worthy. We come to the table because it's our table. It's the table of the Lamb and His bride, and we happen to be His bride. So when we worship, when we sing, when we eat, we're doing it as a people of grace. And when we preach, you are not going to come here, I hope, and hear us give you 19 things you have to go do to make Jesus like you more. No, to use some fancy words, we do the indicative before the imperative. We let you know exactly the performance of Jesus Christ for you. We let you know the promise that He gives to you. And then we put before you now the ways you get to go and glorify Him because of what He's done. And this is what we do, is we preach from the gospel of grace, not preaching from the law as if it's something else you have to do or another hurdle you have to jump over in order to hear the attaboy from your Savior. We're going to be people extending grace. No pecking order here. No sin list that says, that's really bad, this is not so bad, my sins are the least of being bad. Oh no, all of our sins are heinous. All of us are wretches. We're all the chief of sinners, and we're all saved by grace, clothed by Christ. This is who we are, and we believe it. And like Christ, we're going to share that grace to one another. Oh, are we going to be long-suffering? And oh, are we going to be forgiving? And then we can't wait to get out of here. And like Jesus went to the Samaritan woman, the raving demoniac, as Jesus is pinned on the cross and can't wait to show nothing but grace to the guy right beside him, that's going to be us. By grace we have been saved, and God help us to be who we are, a gracious people that are just looking for the next victim of Satan's cancer that we can treat with gospel surgery. We're going to be a house of grace. We're going to be a house of truth. In Psalm 1, you see the competing voices. The world, scoffers, everybody's yelling at you, trying to get your attention. But in Psalm 1, we see we're going to be people who know there is one God. We know He is the truth. We know He's given us His truth by His prophets and His apostles. We know He have it in inspired, infallible, printed form in front of us. And so therefore, let everybody else go hear their folly. We're going to the fountainhead of truth. We're going to God and His Word. And if you cut us, we're going to bleed Bible. Oh, we're going to bleed Bible. We're going to read it. We're going to study it. We're going to memorize it. We're going to go from infancy to greater levels of maturity as we go deep in the Word. We're going to allow it to counsel us. It's going to tell us that which God expects, and we're not going to be loose in that regard. But then we're not going to add our voices to it and become legalist, taking everybody else's freedom away from them. Our Bible's sufficient. It tells us that which we need for righteousness and for godliness. We're going to sing God's Word, pray God's Word, preach God's Word. And we don't care who else comes and tells us what is truth. We're going to listen to every revelation and every advertisement, and we're going to place it under the magnifying glass of the Word of God. Because we are people compelled to be truthful. And we're not going to walk away from truth and call it grace. For how can that be gracious? The best thing you can do to show grace to someone is to stand on the Word of God and boldly and charitably tell someone the truth, even if it hurts them. We are a people of grace, and we're not playing games with truth. It's not up for grabs. We love grace, and we love truth. And just like Jesus, who was full of grace and truth, Horizon Church will be a place full of grace and truth. We'll be a house of humility. I mean, what a commission. Go out there and make disciples because you serve the risen King. But Jesus looked at them in Acts 1 and said, don't go yet. Why don't you people go and pray? Because you need the Holy Spirit. Because without God, all things are impossible, but you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength, and it's His Holy Spirit who gives you strength. So why in the world would we think that we could have successful children's ministry, successful youth ministry, successful Sunday school, successful community group, successful worship, successful evangelism without the power of the Holy Spirit? Are we arrogant? Who do we think we are in ourselves? And why don't we pray? Don't we know the power of God who speaks the world into existence? The one who opens the heart. The one who empowers His saints. He raises the dead. This is our Holy Spirit. Do we really believe we're that frail? Do we really believe He's that powerful? We really believe that to the extent that we pray. And so this church is going to be a praying church in worship, before worship, in Sunday school, in community groups, in men's ministry, in women's ministry. Oh, how we long to see our youth learning to pray, our children learning to pray. Prayer gatherings like tonight at 7 o'clock. We're going to gather. The table's going to be here. The chairs are going to be reassembled. We're going to sing songs. We're going to pray, and we're going to eat. You're invited. Those of you who are dependent upon the Holy Spirit with us will thrive on this. For fresh power comes when we pray. We will be a house of humility. We will not trust in man. We will not trust in programs. We will trust in prayer. We will see God answer our prayers. We will be known as a house of prayer. God help us. This is in our DNA. It's there. It's what our Savior's calling us to be. We will be a house of humility. Next, we will be a house of love. I don't care how great your gifts are, even if you get revelations from God Almighty, even if you give your body to be burned, I don't care how much money you give. I really don't care if you come here and sit and consider yourself holy because you skipped your Sunday golf outing. If you have not love, nothing. But we have love because the fruit of the Spirit is love, and the Spirit has poured love into our hearts. And so this is family. This is community. We're not excited about anyone being isolated. We're not excited about cliques. We're not excited about superficiality. No, what we want are people working themselves, earning the right to be known and to know, working into each other's lives so that we have people that we can confess our sins to, people that confess their sins to us, that we take each other to the throne of grace, that we start loving each other in word and deed. Quantity time, lots of time spent together, because that leads to quality relationships. This is what Christ would have us do. This is koinonia. This is fellowship. We're going to be the easiest people to get along with, for we are going to be patient, kind, humble, and courteous. We are not going to gossip about one another or slander behind people's back. We're going to think the best about one another. We're going to take our spiritual gifts and we're going to use them because people need what the Spirit has gifted us with. This is who we're going to be. We're going to be like Jesus. And when we graduate from the seminary of Jesus, He's going to give us a towel and He's going to tell us to get on our knees because that's how we're going to love, by washing each other's feet. And when we go out into the world, they're going to know us by the love they see here. And they're going to know us by the love we show them out there. For what good does it do if you memorize the Westminster Confession of Faith, go to church 3 times a week, give your tithes and your offerings, build a bigger building, and pat yourself on the back for wearing your Horizon t-shirt? What good does it do if we don't have love for them? But that's not us, because we're a people of grace, truth, humility, and love. We will be a house of relevance. Paul had rights to be a free man. Paul had rights as an apostle. Paul had rights as a man who had labored hard, long, and well for his Lord. Paul had rights to eat and drink whatever he wanted. Paul had rights to have a wife. Paul had rights to get paid for his ministry. Paul had rights to enjoy his Jewish customs. He had rights to enjoy his Gentile liberties. But Paul had a heart and a motivation. He was driven that he could see people come to know Jesus, that he might have some spiritual fruit, that they might enjoy Christ's blessings with him. And because he had a greater desire for ministry fruit than he did for his selfish desires and rights and preferences, what did he do? Sacrificed him, gave him away. The church wasn't going to be his country club. It was a ministry. So he therefore said, to the Jew, I'll be Jewish. To the Greek, I'll be Greekish. To everybody, I'll be whatever they need. Why? Not because I'm morphing and don't know who I am. Because who I am longs to see them come to Christ. Oh, we're not going to just be overly creative because we're creatives. We're not going to be overly modern because we're modern. We're not going to be overly tradition because we love tradition. We're not going to do things because that's the way we've done things. Oh, no. We have an audience. We're missionaries. That's our world. They're living under the influence of the devil, enslaved to sin. They're on their way to hell. Your country's falling apart. Their families are falling apart. And you're the best thing they got. But we got to get out of here. We got to listen well. We got to understand our culture. We got to speak their language. And we're not going to, once again, you can rest. We're not going to compromise truth in any way. But we are going to dress truth in modern culture's clothing so that they can understand it the best, so that they can accept it, so that they can communicate it. Christ has not called us to live in 17th century London. We're not going to worship and do church like they did in 17th century London. He's called us to be in the 21st century, in the upstate of Greenville, South Carolina. And that's the kind of church we're going to be, a relevant church where we give up our preferences for the mission. And then someday we're going to have to morph again. Because you who are young and cool, you're going to be old and not so cool like us one day. But it's in our DNA that whatever the language of the day is, that's what we want to speak to. We want to use those illustrations, their words. I'm going to have to learn more artists, because Chicago and Van Halen just don't cut it anymore. But this is what I'm willing to do. It's what we're willing to do, because we have a world to go reach for Christ. We will be a house of relevance. We will be a house of intentionality. Some people are pretty happy about watching football on TV. Some people are pretty happy about going and sitting in their suit in the press box or in the expensive boxes. Some, no. I want to smell it. I want to be in the stands, rub elbows with sweaty people and hear the crowd noise. Some, just let me be on the team, wear the uniform, and sit on the bench. But for true competitors, that's never enough. Not satisfied to get paid and sit on a bench. I'm going to play ball. And if someone else has my position, I'm going to pretend that I like them. I'm going to pretend that I'm a team player and encourage them. But bottom line, I want to improve and get better so that guy's sitting on the bench because I want to play ball. Intentionality, drive, swinging for the fences, making more mistakes, striking out because you're trying to go big or go home. This is what Paul did. It's not good enough for me to be willing to run or even want to run. I want to win. What does it mean for us to win? It's not to exist. It's not for us to just be happy. It's not for us to get bigger. It is for us to make a quantity of quality disciples. It's that right there. And in order for that to happen, we have got to be intentional. We've got to set priorities. We've got to say no to some bad things that get in the way. We've got to say no to some good things that aren't best and get in the way. This will require us to spend our money, our efforts, our energies, our relationships. This will require us to use our facilities differently. But are we willing to do it? Not if we just like sitting back being armchair quarterbacks criticizing everyone else's ministry. But if we're in the game and we're in it to win it, then we don't care what we have to do as long as it's not compromising God's word. We are going hard. We're going big. We're making a bunch of those kind of people. We're starting with our children. We're starting with this family. But then we're getting out of here. And we look to create a problem because we're so intentional that this room can't hold us anymore. And either we're going to have to plant more churches or tear out walls or build other facilities. We don't know. But may God allow us to make a quantity of quality disciples that causes a problem, because that is what he wants. Multitudes of people around the throne. And there's still a lot of his elect that need to be found. Finally, we will be a house of leadership. we will give away authority, responsibility, and we will give accountability. We are not about micromanaging from corporate headquarters everything that happens underneath. If you look in your chart, you will see the leaders of each team are found on the bottom rung of the ladder. Because our job is to find people gifted and impassioned by Christ. Set them up for ministry. Give them their realm of responsibility. This is your field. Give them authority and power. Within your field, we want you to make decisions. We want you to say yes. We want you to say no. We want you to be a leader. We want you to take ownership. We want you to make disciples there so that they can go out and do the same thing. And then we're going to give accountability in love. Well done. Well done. Okay, not so well. Let's back up and let's do that better. But we are all about a bottom-up structure of passing along ministry, responsibility, and authority while we hold you accountable in love to many people. God has given you all gifts. There is no gender in the gifts. There is no age in the gifts. Hannah, stand up. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that to you, but I'm... Wave! How old are you, Hannah? How old? 11. She's serving Christ, running your PowerPoint display. Because someone said, we don't care about gender, we don't care about age. This is an area of responsibility that we can train for, we can give it away, we can give her authority. She can mess up the whole sermon if she wants to. And we're going to hold her lovingly accountable and say, well done. You've done an awesome job, Hannah. But that's discipleship. That's making leaders. And this is the church where elders and staff are serious about equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. So this is our DNA. This is who we are. As we engage in that mission given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, this is who He has made us to be. This will excite some. Others will visit the church and say, that place isn't for me because, and fill in the blank. But when God organizes a group of people with the same DNA together and they keep reminding themselves who they are, beautiful things happen. The church down the road, it can do its thing. That church can look its way and do its thing, and we rejoice. We're not going to try to always waffle back and forth between Wendy's, Hardee's, Chick-fil-A, McDonald's. We is who we is. We have to be true to us. This is who Christ has made us from the inside, and this is compelling us forward. These are our essentials. We're not going to violate them. We're not going to change them. This is who we are. I hope this is who you are. If so, come and join the fun.